is Willie Terry, your Romy Labor correspondent, here at the Hudson Mohawk magazine. And today I'm here at Hudson Valley Community College in Troy, where I'll be interviewing Professor Tumu Chambers about Kwanzaa. How you doing, Professor?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Willie.
First of all, I want to say that, you know, when preparing for this interview, I tried to find some bio on you. And I want to tell you that I need a book. Oh. I mean, you have so many accolades and certificates and degrees at prestige colleges here and abroad. And I said, wow, I didn't know all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I said one day I guess I got to interview you about you. Currently, you are right here, and we got you right here at Hudson Valley Community College, where you're a professor of sociology. You do cultural diversity in American society, African history, African-American history, and the African-American experience you have taught. And you also, continue to lecture for the state of New York, the Empire State College Center, distant learning, and you do diversity workshops and human resource management. You have a lot going on. And people. Oh, but anyway, today I want to talk to you about Kwanzaa. And a lot of people don't quite understand it, but they... something that they want to understand. And I'm just hoping that you could kind of explain some of that so that we could get this out. So I want to start off by asking you, what is Kwanzaa?
Oh, yes, Willie. I'm really excited about Kwanzaa, and I'm glad that you're taking the time to interview me about it so that I can widen the knowledge about it. Well, Kwanzaa, it is an annual celebration of life observed for 7 days from December 26th to January 1st, and it's by people of African descent to honor their heritage. So the week-long celebration may include songs, dances, African drums, storytelling.
So what do the word Kwanzaa mean?
Okay, the word Kwanzaa, that was created by Dr. Milana Karenga, and he is a professor there in California. And so with the term, it's in Swahili, and pretty much is like fruit, bringing everyone together for specifically African Americans, their history as a result of the enslavement. When here, many that arrived in America and they could not practice their fundamental beliefs. And so with Karenga, he came up with the Kwanzaa in the name in his Swahili. And when he visited with in Africa, and he thought that if the many could just start to understand their heritage, that this would be a way, to bring the group, together to learn how to value and appreciate themselves.
Okay. So you said that Kwanzaa means like something like first fruit. And is that something that they celebrate in Africa?
Yes. He borrowed, many of the things that they do in Africa with the family and and the get together, and pretty much to bring the entire group together. And so consequently with Kwanzaa, and when he came back here in the US, many people thought that was a made-up holiday, and where it did have a lot of the underpinnings, there in Africa, and they didn't think that it would last, long. But as you can see, now it is celebrated around the world.
Right. Okay. Now, you mentioned Dr. Ron Karenga. Now, who was he?
Okay. Well, Dr. Milana Karenga, an amazing professor. And as I said, when he created 1966, and he's a professor and chairperson of Black Studies in California, and he was there during the Civil Rights Movement, and he saw where so many African, or back then, or in Black Studies, and that they did not, you know, value themselves. And he said because of the enslavement, that was a component, that was missing, not understanding about your cultural heritage. And so that's what he thought. If he could bring together, design a holiday around Christmas, the same time when many people have the days off. And so consequently, they could do that with their families. And of course, have meaning to it as well, which I know you're going to ask me about a little later. Right. He's still there in California. And also, needless to say, he's an amazing speaker and head of Black Studies. And so, yes, he continues to enhance Africa, Pan-Africanism, so that African-Americans or the term, I use them interchangeably, African-Americans or Black. Therefore, he keeps it, moving. And, consequently, like what you're doing today, letting everyone know, about it.
Now, what month and days is Kwanzaa celebrate?
Okay, well, the Kwanzaa, it begins the same as Christmas. And it will last for 7 days. And then during that time period, there are activities that take place with the family. And it's a renewal, almost like a rite of passage.
They don't celebrate this in Africa, do they?
They have different celebrations there in Africa. And that's why many people will call it a man-made or a made-up one. But what he did, he gathered significant information to bring it forward here. But as I said, as other countries now have picked it up and they use the same or process that he does, the different steps.
So you're trying to say that Kwanzaa might be going international?
Well, yes, actually it has gone internationally, and in a moment I'll think of the other countries that they're in. So as I said, and it just came to me, yes, as you know, the United States, and then also in Canada and the Caribbean, mm-hmm. and other parts of the African diaspora.
Now, what are the seven principles of Kwanzaa?
Yeah, and that was in part two, so that wasn't just a commercial thing that many people view with as far as Christmas is concerned. It's an acknowledgement and honoring of the seven principles known as Saba. Each day of Kwanzaa emphasizes a new principle, and the evening of with the candle lighting ceremonies and an opportunity to discuss the principles and the meanings. And so the first night, it's a black candle in the center of the candelabra, and it is lit, and the principle of umoji, which is discussed. And the principle includes maintaining unity as a family, community, and a race. Kujigijalaja, that's a nice word for you. Self-determination, defining, naming, and creating, and speaking for oneself. Then we also follow up with Ujima, and that is collective work and responsibility, building and maintaining our community and solving problems together. And Ujima, and that is cooperative economics, and that was building and maintaining our retail stores and other businesses and to profit from these ventures so that, again, become self-reliant. And Nia, we're nowhere without Nia or our purpose, and that is our work collectively to build communities that will restore the greatness of African people. And then Kulumba, and that is creativity to find new innovative ways to leave communities of African descent in more beautiful and beneficial ways than the community inherited. So again, you want everyone to be self-reliant and take that responsibility for your own communities. And then Imani, and that's faith, the belief in God, family, heritage, leaders, and others that will leave the to the victory of your Africans around the world.
Now, these are principles, the seven principles. Now, what do they do African Americans supposed to do with that? Do they celebrate them just on the days of Kwanzaa, or is it something that they should use every day?
No. With Kwanzaa, is something, it's like a renewal of life and of the things that that were just, you know, I mentioned. And you have the practice all year with, you know, like the different steps or those that are just a way to, you know, like honor yourself, honor your family, honor your friends, and even equally important, your community. And so his goal is, or with Dr. Milana Karenga, his goal was for Africans, you know, people, you know, like of color, to really learn how to find themselves and to become self-reliant, and more importantly, to be proud of your ethnic heritage.
Yeah. So now, you know, we have Christmas coming up too, and Kwanzaa kind of interact, you know, almost basically with Christmas. So was Kwanzaa found as a substitute for Christmas?
It was found for a healing for African, like Americans, a healing for those things that were stripped away. And a lot of the practices, again, from Africa, it differs from Christmas in the sense that everything that you do is not for material goods. You make items for your family, so that we want to, you know, like move away, you know, like from that, so that you can spend the time and you keep renewing, you know, like the seven, you know, like principles, you know, like of Kwanzaa, similar to, you know, like in our country or anyone that's celebrating, you know, like Christmas. Again, that's a renewal. And, you know, like certainly, and to appreciate, you know, like others in your religious, you know, like faith, or to reintroduce it to your family, you know, like also, and to bring them together. So it's the same thing, too, you know, like with Kwanzaa. And I know you asked me that question earlier. I don't think that, you know, like I addressed it when you had mentioned about, is it just for, you know, like African-Americans? Mm-hmm. No, you bring your friends, many of your friends from different, you know, like religious groups. You know, like as well, different, you know, like nationalities. We don't want to be, you know, like separated, but it's really nice to bring them in so that they can also, you know, like understand about you and your heritage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the principle is that I should celebrate this use these principles all year, but come Kwanzaa, it's like a time I renewed my vow.
Yes, like absolutely.
Oh, okay, good.
And actually, Willie, this happened today, or yesterday, I should say, because here at Hudson Valley Community College, they were celebrating Kwanzaa. And in my African history class, I was pleasantly surprised when my students, they made a T-shirt. Everything was handmade, the box. And also, it was something that was uplifting, and the students would write their comments on the shirt. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, they use, in Kwanzaa, those are a lot of Swahili words in there. So why do they use Swahili?
Yeah, that's an excellent question as well. Well, in Africa, and specifically during the trade period, when trading with each other from the different countries, as you know, there's 54 countries in Africa. And it was a language that the majority of people understood, with all the languages that they have there in Africa. But for trading, that was the language of choice. And so therefore, Dr. Karenga chose that word, or the culture, and also the terminology is where a lot of the definitions, you know, come from. And since he knew, obviously, about the trading and, that sort of thing, so that made, a lot of sense. And also, I think that many of us would agree that the language out of all of them, that's pretty easy, to pronounce.
Yeah. Now, gifts. Gifts are given during Kwanzaa, right, I guess. And what types of gifts are given and why?
Yeah, well, when you mentioned that, and because we're just so close to it, and as I said, with teaching my African history class, and then other individuals, you know, like that know me, they know I'm not into the material, thing. So they're always making something. I've gotten so many, cards, which were handmade. Mm-hmm. And also the same thing too with the clothing. You don't go out and purchase the your ethnic clothing, you know, like either. And this is that, you know, like they'll have someone in the community or from the church to make the you know, like the outfits also. If you're not fortunate to go to Africa and get it when you know, like there. But yeah, so those are the things that we, you know, like want to focus on. And again, so that you have that self-determination and going back, you know, like to Nia or your purpose. And these are the things that, you know, like bring us together and financially, economically, and not just giving money or putting it, you know, like out there in the larger, you know, like society. So you want people to work in the community to make the items as, you know, like also. So in other words, everything is handmade.
So it's not commercialized, like maybe say Christmas, you know, you have to go out and buy everything at Walmart and all them stuff. But in Kwanzaa, you make things, and you make things based on your history.
So, yeah, it's interesting that you should say that because, as I said, Kwanzaa founded in 1966. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when something becomes, you know, like internalized here, you know, like in America or accepted here in America, when you have a stamp in your name. So, of course, now you can pick up the Kwanzaa stamp, you know, like as well. And Dr. Karanga is really pleased with that because that shows the longevity of it and that it has been integrated in society. But on the other hand, his concern is commercialism. Like with, you know, like the clothing and also, you know, like the flag. All items now that are Kwanzaa, you can purchase it in many stores now right. Because we live in a capitalistic society. Right. And anytime when you can earn money from, you know, like anything that will sell, of course, they will do that. And that is one thing that, you know, like bothers him because he never wanted Kwanzaa to become materialized.
And I do know that, I remember a long time ago, I didn't see anything about Kwanzaa on the calendar. You know, calendars they print. But now it's on every calendar, Kwanzaa's there.
Yes.
So that shows you how it has grown. Okay, now, one important thing for us, you know, from African Americans, food. Now, what part does food play during Kwanzaa? And what type of food would, you know, a person serve?
Well, when here on campus, and I've been producing Kwanzaa events for the you know, like last 15 years, and usually we have collard greens, fried chicken. You know, you have to have your fried chicken and your yams. So these are the kinds of foods that much of it was a part of. You know, like what you did there. You know, like in Africa. And you are able, when you're on the plantations, you like to cook up your own food on certain, you like times. And especially with the, you like fried chicken, because there's a standard joke that African-Americans with Kentucky fried chicken, who goes there? Not many African-Americans, they're home cooking their own chicken. And that has always been something, you know, like on Sundays, because it's right. Got to be the same thing. And it's many would argue that it tastes better in spite of with the Colonel having the seven, you know, like surprise, you know, like ingredients allegedly that no one knows. But part of the African culture, and many people will tell you this, you know, like today, they always did things that wasn't, you know, like handwritten. They just had the memories, and they would make sure whether or not it's the sweet potato pie or the apple pie, you know, like, and then the way how they just cooked that, you know, like that chicken and the collard greens and everything, you know, like was really seasoned. And as you probably are very well aware now, in Sylvia's, you can go in the stores and they have the collard greens. It's actually, and it's pretty good, even though it's, you know, like it's store bought. But, you know, like those are things. And then celebrities also supported it, like with Patti LaBelle. She has her pies, you know, like that you can purchase in, you know, like different stores, you know, like as well. So you're keeping that cultural, or the culture, you know, like alive with the foods that really, after the arrival, you know, like here in Africa, especially like with chicken, because that was, you could only get that sometimes once a month, and some, depending on the slave master, sometimes, you know, like only, you know, like once a year. So those are the things that you were able to, you know, to eat. And I mean, like pretty much anything that you can do and you work with on a regular basis, it becomes really good. And so that's what they were able to do.